822 at WEOL, and we're happy to have in studio this morning Mayor Frank Whitfield from the city of Alere. Good morning, Mayor. How are you today?
Good morning. Happy Friday. Happy cold Friday.
Right. I was going to say, do you wear a hat and the gloves, or do you just wear the coat, or do you think to yourself, I don't? I saw a guy with shorts yesterday.
Yesterday that was appropriate to have on shorts. But yeah, this morning I got my hat on, and the staff at the city always gets me. If they see me walking in without a hat on a cold day, you know, they get on me about, Mayor, you know, make sure you're covering your head. You know?
See, they're looking after you, Mayor. They want to make sure that you're going to be here for the next day and all the things that happen in the city. But we appreciate coming in. We have you set up on the final Friday of each month, and that's where we are right now. March is almost here, believe it or not. But let's talk about some of the things that have been going on in the city, as well as some of those projects that sort of get news headlines, and then you're wondering what's going on with them. Let's start with the esports project. What can you tell us about an update on that?
So yesterday we participated in a town hall that Kevin Flanagan and the whole esports team put together at the Foundry. We had the library there, the schools there, some city council members there, and they're going to start the demolition of the interior of the building next week. So that was exciting news that it's continuing to move forward. And we got a chance to, I heard earlier you're talking about Cavaliers. We got a chance to meet some representatives from the Cavaliers because they have an esports team. And I think I knew that and forgot it, but he was there and sharing about how they look to be involved and talking about some of the esports things that they've done as an entity. Then we have another gentleman, I guess, is going to be helping the manage everything, and he had an exhaustive experience in the esports space. He's from Ohio, but moved away to, I think, to Texas, you know, did multi-million-dollar deals, built the esports team, sold the team, he said, for over $100 million, and wanted to come back home and try to make a difference. So he was sharing his insights on how this can really have a huge impact on the community. And in particular, there was a lot of focus on young people. It was a lot of conversation about, you know, this, you know, gaming is a way that any young person can be involved, no matter their height, size, and how inclusive the gaming culture is, and how there's opportunities for them to learn new skills like, you know, video production, even video games themselves, just the hand-eye coordination. They cited some studies around how, you know, like 40% or something of the doctors from this generation were also gamers, and that hand-eye coordination has played out longer and, you know, later in life. And just saw the health and wellness side of things, and that was encouraging because a lot of times when you talk about gaming, you think about somebody sitting in their basement not getting outside.
And their like eyes are bloodshot and they have no connection. It's almost like an addiction in a sense like that too.
Yeah, so what, you know, he was sharing is that the when you build these arenas, you're actually providing social interaction. You're allowing folks to come together to enjoy something virtually, but in a physical environment. And just the pros and cons of what we can expect. There was a coach from another school that has an esports team. I think Brookside's coach was there. They're starting an esports team. So it's exciting. And I think I'm excited. It's going to bring a lot of people from all over the country, all over the region to Elyria to be competing, and I'm excited about it.
Right. Well, then I also saw recently in the last month or two, the OHSAA sort of has sanctioned or has allowed that to sort of be one of their umbrella sports.
Wow.
So it's a different type of sport. We think about the basketball that's going on in the city right now and football, but they're looking at esports as well. So they're sort of looking ahead of the curve to see where things are going and try to include more, as you mentioned, students and the academic side of it, too. So that's kind of exciting. I've been doing my own driving sports on Cleveland Street. So there's these these little pylons that I try not to hit. And then every once in a while, I have to anticipate whether I'm going left or right. I travel through the day, and it's working well for me. This is my route, so I've been impacted by that. But they seem to be progressing, because the major vehicles, construction vehicles, are sort of moving up the road a little bit away from 57 and further down. Talk a little bit about the status, what you know on that.
Yeah, so that's moving along very well. I'm like you. I'm inconvenienced a couple minutes extra. My route, you know, to take my kids to school was normally like a really quick route, and I have to go down Cleveland Street and go around. So it's a little bit of an inconvenience. But, yeah, they're moving. They're progressing pretty fast. But I was just talking with a resident this morning, and sharing with them, you know, it's going to be like this for a while, because right after this project, we do the road diet on Cleveland Street, and we're going to make it from 4 lanes to 3 lanes. So that road will get repaved, resurfaced. So now folks, because that's the other game you play on Broad Street and Cleveland Street, is like Mario Kart. You're like trying to dodge right. the potholes. Yes. And especially, you know, when you get close to the curb, you get really anxious. You're like, if I had a pothole, I could swerve right on out of here.
When you get all these heavy rains, you mm-hmm. have to decide what's the best part to go to. But,
So when we redo this road, Cleveland Street and Broad Street, it'll relieve folks of that, because that's a burden for folks. Hitting potholes, you know, people can't afford, you know, to be getting their cars repaired right. because of a road not being surfaced well. And so, you know, Broad Street will get redone. Cleveland Street will be getting redone. And all those projects are started to start this year.
Right.
So I can't say the end is in sight in terms of, hey, you know, just get through these couple months, because there's a lot of work to be done. And this is what the residents wanted. They wanted the city to get updated, upgraded. It's time, you know, for us to, you know, address some of these things. We've been talking about Broad Street for 40, 50 years. It's a gateway into the city. Cleveland Street is a gateway into the city. So these are important projects that, though we're going through this little pain point for a year or so, I think for the next 30 years, we'll be happy with what we got.
Right. And there's the people that sort of figure, you know, like, we're doing this stuff under the ground. Now it's going to be how the top part looks, and then it'll determine the road lanes and everything like that. And so there's all those studies that we hope to give us the best outcome of where to make the traffic flow as easy as possible
for sure.
That's well. What other things you want to talk about? Anything
else? Mentioned the water piece, the underground work that's happening. And, you know, last year we signed a consent decree with the Department of Justice and the EPA, because through the Clean Water Act back, 40 years ago or 40 years plus ago, we were under, we needed to stop discharging into the Black River. We needed to clean up what we were discharging into the Black River, so we needed to fix our sewer system. And so that can kind of got kicked down the road, and of course during my time is when it was time to decide to fix it. And so we negotiated back and forth, but what we settled on was we have to do $200 million worth of work in 20 years. And so and the purpose of that is to clean up the Black River. And so the hope of the outcome of that will be we'll see more kayaking, more fishing, more swimming, more activity on the Black River. We'll start to utilize our Black River. But again, in the meantime, you know, I was meeting with Senator Vance's office yesterday, sharing with them, hey, we can't put this burden on today's residents. You know, we need support infrastructure wise to help pay for these projects, because the residents shouldn't have to pay for this 200-year problem in their lifetime. Because this problem didn't create this problem. It has existed for the 200 years of the city, but now we're asking this generation to fix it. So we're hoping that the senators vote, both Vance and Brown, help us get some of that federal money so that burden doesn't fall on the residents. But I'm hoping, again, that 20 years from now, when that water's clean and people go to the Black River, and that water's such a hot topic right now, what's going on in East Palestine, that... Yep. I'm hoping that, you know, we can enjoy our Black River.
Right. Well, you know, the Black River connects you to Lorraine. You know, you send it down to them, so the better you can treat it, the better they have it as well, too. And I wonder a little bit, you know, Mayor Bradley had a State of the City yesterday as well. It's interesting. You have the two bigger cities in the county, you know, you kind of work together. You kind of have to see what issues you have and how best you can go in the same direction rather than be in conflict with each other too. So
yeah, I've enjoyed working with Mayor Bradley. You know, he's like me, an outsider. He didn't come from within the political structure and system to his position. So we definitely look at things from an outsider perspective and pretty common sense wise on things when it comes to making decisions. You know, we've been working together on trying to address community violence. We partnered on a grant application to the state to try to get some support to try to, you know, get our young people on a positive track and keep them away from guns and violence. So we're excited and hopeful that grant will happen. And if not, you know, we'll go to our city councils and see if we can get funding from our cities to help fund an initiative to work with our young people. And yeah, I mean, we there's so many opportunities between our two cities that I'm excited to continue to work with them. But you also mentioned the State of the City, And so on March 7th is our State of the City, but I'm actually looking to do two State of the City addresses, because one piece of feedback I heard from the residents is the State of the City address is done during the day when people are working, and it costs $28 to get into the event. And so I wanted to make sure we did something for the community that's open to the community. So we're working on March 17th to have a forum that's open to the community, free to the public, at the Elyria Performing Arts Center, to do a State of the City address, where I'll dive deep on city issues, where we are, where we're going, and hopefully get the community excited and rallied around being a part of the solution. So we'll keep the March 7th with the chamber. We'll focus that really on the business community. We're going to be recognized Ridge Tool for their 100 years of business, which is we're just proud to have them in the city, a great company in the city. We'll do some other acknowledgments and also just give some updates from an economic standpoint. The city of Elyria's economy is a very healthy economy right now, and it's very unique. After the loss of Bendix, there would be this huge downfall, but you know, our city is made up of so many small companies. And so when we took that hit, it hurt. But there were so many small companies that were growing in the midst of that. And so we finished last year really strong income tax wise and really a reflection of the strength of the business community. So we'll talk about that on the March 7th. And then on March 17th, you know, we're going to aim for 6 o'clock to get started. Doors will probably open at 5:30. I'm going to dive deep into community issues and city issues and this, you know, things that may not be as pertinent to just the business community, but to our community as a whole.
Any AI reports? Last time I remember you were doing sort of a virtual mayor thing. Remember that one?
That? Why'd you bring that? You know, I'm a techie, so you opened up a can of worms. I'm a nerd too. So you saying that, I'm like, oh, you want to talk AI? Let's do it. But on the AI side, I might use some ChatGPT. Okay. Have you heard of ChatGPT?
Yes, right.
Yeah, it's
it's going to just write your state of the
Yeah. I'll have it do a section or something in there maybe, and like just to show people the technology now is just and it's so amazing, you know. And that's why we do training for our residents. And I don't know if residents know about that. That you know, you can go on EliriaCares.com. You can call us. It's Goodwill. We partner with them, and we provide training to our residents so that they can get technology tools, and they also get a laptop at the end of the training. And so we've been doing that since the pandemic. We've been training residents. We use our rec centers. We use community centers. We use the library. And this ChatGPT, this artificial, it's not going anywhere. So it's good for folks to learn how to use it because, you know, I've played around with it. I had it write me a living will. I had it write me, you know, just things that it's disrupting a lot of industry. I could have had it write my remarks today. I could have said, here are the things I want to talk about. Boom, boom, boom. Give them a paragraph of what I've said and say, create me talking points for the radio interview today.
Wow. Well, you know, in one sense, it kind of helps give you time to do other things, kind of takes care of that stuff. But then you also have to make sure that it, you know, you go back and look at it, and it's just it's a tool is what most of this stuff is too.
Yeah, so you got to fact check it because, you know, sometimes it'll go off the rails. You know, I tried to have it do some genealogy stuff about my grandfather because I've been trying to learn more about his history. You know, he was from Oxford, Mississippi, joined the army, moved his family from Oxford to Ohio. And so I've been trying to do research. I asked ChatGPT, and they just start making up stuff. They're like, Frank Brown Jr. was a dude. I'm like, that wasn't my grandpa. I'm like, yeah, you don't know. So,
But the thing about that, which we've learned, it learns. In other words, it's continually evolving. So the more people that probably are a part of it, it starts to, you know, get better. So it's in its infancy, as they say.
And again, you know, when we taking it back to the esports, the way we got there was, you know, part of my goal as mayor was we wanted to create an innovation center that would start to move Elyria into the 21st century. We knew, hey, the world is becoming technological. Elyria is behind. I'm a techie. Let's bring the city forward. So we started those meetings with Mr. Flanagan to talk about an innovation center, and that's bubbled over to becoming this esports center. So the gaming part is just one aspect, but there's going to be Lorain County Community College is going to have a satellite office there. So we're going to have trainings there and classes for people in all different types of industry, business, technology, et cetera. But this is helping us bring the city into the 21st century. That was my mandate as mayor, and I'll be able to talk more about State of the City, but I'm proud of the work that we've done.
We're talking with Mayor Frank Whitfield this morning, joining us on the final Friday of each month, and next Friday, or the next final Friday in March, we'll have a lot to talk about because we'll dive deeper into some of the things you've done related to your State of the City. Mayor, thanks for stopping in this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.